Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Home Barista Podcast with me, your host Sean, aka the Drummond Barista. Before we begin, guys, please hit the follow or subscribe button as it helps more than you know. I have big plans for the Home Barista Podcast, and in saying that, if you'd like to support the growth of this channel with a monetary gift, that would be greatly appreciated. Click the Buy Me a Coffee link down in the description to learn more. So, here we are in episode 6, and today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Logan, who is an all-star barista, veteran of the New Zealand coffee industry, and founder of Hammerstone Coffee. We sat down with a cup of coffee to learn more about Logan on a personal and career level, and talk about a new business venture that he finds himself on with Hammerstone Coffee. I personally learned so much from Logan and left feeling so refreshed and excited about the future of the industry, and I know you will too. So, without any further ado, please make sure you have a delicious cup of coffee in hand, sit back and enjoy. Alrighty, Logan, well, hey bro, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super stoked that you're here with me, and I'm so excited to get stuck into this. But yeah, let's start off with, how are you, bro? How's things going?
Hey, yeah, no. Real good, thanks. Well, thanks so much for having me. Been seeing some of the podcasts coming out, so it's been great to be involved in this as well. Like I mentioned to you before, you've got a real great way of connecting with community, so it's just, yeah, really good to be involved with us as well. But yeah,
thank you.
Doing not too badly. We were talking before, about 5 minutes beforehand, I just got my positive test results, so oh, no. This is me for the next 7 days.
Oh, man. COVID. Honestly, it's just taking everyone out. It's taking everyone out.
Oh, man. But that's all right. All things considered, doing pretty well. Thank you.
Great. Good. But that's the main thing, you know. At least you're doing well, even though you just got that text message, which is obviously the text message that no one wants to get at this moment in time.
No, madness.
Cool, man. Hey, well, look, as I've said over text message and as we were talking just before we got onto the episode here, I'm honestly so excited to have you on. This is an episode, and you are a person that I've been wanting to get on to the podcast for quite a while, just because, of course, we do go back just like a little while, back to the days when I was working as a barista in Wellington. Just us kind of chilling out and hanging out in the hangar on your days off, and also after your shifts and random events where we'd end up drinking far too much coffee and then not sleeping and having to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
Thank Frank for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. Cheers, Frank, and all of the other people with the events and stuff that we would be at. But yeah, man, well, look, I just want to jump straight in. I want you to do as much talking as you can, even though you've just got those test results, so your throat may be feeling a bit weird. But but yeah, bro, please start us off with telling us about Logan. Like, who is Logan? What makes up Logan? What makes Logan tick? Just tell us all about yourself. I want to know.
Yeah, cool.
The listeners want to know, and I know this is just going to be epic. So everyone listening, I'm so excited. Let's go.
No, yeah, cool. So yeah, don't often talk about myself tonight, but I'll give it a go. But no. I'm Logan. So I've been with Mojo for about 6 years now. Actually, to be honest, my 6-year anniversary was probably last month. Crept up quick. But I'm working as a coffee consultant for them now. But I've been in hospitality for probably nigh on about 15 years now.
Wow, really?
I was, yeah. So my mum was a cafe manager, so
cool.
I was cheap labour back then. just doing dishes and sort of eventually made my way out front. Just jumped on the coffee machine a bit. Gosh knows what I was making back then. Fortunately, people seem to enjoy it, so that's the main thing. Did a bit of a stint back in the back of house in the kitchen there as well, just as a sous chef. But sort of been in a few different areas of hospitality. It wasn't until about probably 2015 that I sort of made my foray into the specialty coffee. When I say that, I just meant I started actually figuring out a bit more about what coffee was, as opposed to just, you know, stopping it at a certain amount of time and just serving it whatever came out. But yeah, interesting enough that that first foray into specialty coffee was at Te Papa Tongarewa, our national museum.
Oh wow, really?
That was, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
As a barista there. Yeah, nice. it's a bit of a. I haven't been back in a wee while. I need to pop back. But yeah, it was a bit of a cool vibe back then.
Yeah.
It's quite fortunate to have a really cool group of friends and colleagues there that yeah, just made it a good time. Joseph Wisniewski, one of our roasters at Mojo, worked with me at that time, and one of my other friends has gone over to the Netherlands to start up a cafe. So yeah, it was really good. But the sort of thing that really pushed me into specialty coffee there was our coffees trainers at the time. We were very fortunate to have Andrew McQuaid, who I believe was the 2012 New Zealand Barista Champ. He was one of our coffee trainers.
Yeah.
And alongside Longy, who's now the founder of Cafe New Chapter in Wellington.
Oh, cool. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it was a real good vibe going on there.
Yeah.
It was manic, but as you can imagine, school holidays and whatnot. But yeah, so Eamon was sort of where I first sort of entered the competition scene and sort of was really exposed to the coffee industry outside of just traditional cafes, which was great. That was back in 2015. Did a stint there. That was my first competition before moving up to Palmerston North. And I worked for Arosta Coffee Roasting up there. So still quite close with Simon and Kirsty and the crew. So that's great.
Yeah.
Was just on bar up there, and then came back down to Wellington and started Mojo, and I've been there since up until this last, well, still with Mojo, but up until this last month or so.
Yeah. Wow, bro, crazy. That's so cool. Man, 15 years in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really good time. Like I've tried things other, well, I haven't actually tried things other than hospital. I've studied outside of hospital, but I've always just come back to it. It's been a great for me.
Yeah. Wow. Sheesh. Well, bro, applaud you for 15 years in the industry. Like for me, I did just short of 5 years. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not going to bag it out, of course, but I did just short of 5 years, and I was just like, man, this is tough, man. It's real
hard.
It is taxing, especially
at the moment. And it is tough. And hopefully we look to a bit of future for that.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Definitely. Fingers crossed. Yeah. We can, fingers crossed now that New Zealand has been within the orange traffic light system for the past couple of weeks, that things are starting to kind of come back around again. I'm definitely seeing a bit of a rise within cafes when I go to them on the weekends and stuff down here, of course, down here in Christchurch. And there's a couple of people that I know within the South Island that have got cafes that are able, to get like a lot more customers back through, a lot more customers coming in during the weekdays as well, as people were coming back to work. So man.
Yeah. Bro, but 15 years. This week's been a big step up for us.
Is it? Okay, cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's good, eh? So, like, would you say that Wellington is starting to get its kind of wheels back in motion just a little bit more?
Yeah, I think we're definitely getting there. Last week is school holidays this week, and so I think next couple of weeks will sort of be, we're looking at normality again, which is, positive.
Yeah, amazing. That's cool. All right, bro. Well, one last personal question, I suppose, just so we can get to know you just a little bit more, understand who Logan is. So outside of coffee, what do you do? Who is Logan outside of coffee?
I mean, obviously. So coffee. At the moment, it's taking up that. But lately, I've been getting into really a lot of photography and a little bit of stargazing as well.
Nice.
I found it's quite good just to ground yourself. Photography's been great for me. Just slows you down, and when you're out there and sort of focus on the small things, and that's really healthy at the moment, I think. And so I've been enjoying that. And then just do a fair bit of stargazing.
Cool.
I missed this morning, which is a bit of a bugger. but it was a real good conjunction. But Yeah, so just, yeah, really just dog vees, stargazing, a little bit of just hiking and stuff where possible. But
yeah, cool.
Yeah, just trying to get out there. But
yeah,
yes, so as I said at the moment, work is consuming me.
Yeah, totally. Well, look, we'll get to
that. Not in a bad way.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But look, we'll get to that particular part of it just a little bit after this next section, because that's one of the things that I'm real excited to kind of talk to you about. But yeah, cool, man. Well, hey, look, I'm going to jump into the coffee questions just because I know personally that you are a veteran of the coffee industry. And I'm going to use that word because it's true. You are definitely a veteran of the coffee industry. You're a legend of the coffee industry. I'm going to even say that to so many people that I know and that you will know as well through kind of circles and like friendship circles and coffee circles are just like, man, Logan is the man. I'm like, you don't have to tell me this. I know he is. So yeah, I want to get into that coffee stuff. And so, yeah, start us off with what got you into coffee, even though you've already kind of touched on it just a little bit, but touch on like what got you into the barista side that you now find yourself in. So like the specialty coffee barista side. So yeah, where did that start? Where did it come from? Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so coffee for me is a bit more of a medium. Like, don't get me wrong, I love coffee, clearly. But I enjoy just the industry and the people around it more, first and foremost. Just being in a cafe setting, you meet people from all sorts of walks of life and with different perspectives. And I think that's quite important as a person to just get those different perspectives. So you sort of get a bit tunneled. I've just been really, like, I've just always loved the different interaction and hospitality. And so it's something I'd never change, and it's still very much the core of why I enjoy hospitality. Cool. As I'm sure you're aware, though, career development and sort of the professionalism of hospitality is still very much a fleeting thing.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of that sort of barista sort of track. I mean, I was exposed to it early on, and it was sort of just a way to keep in the industry sustainably, I suppose. Just trying to figure out how to, I mean, looking at people in other disciplines and industries, you're like, they're doing well. So it was sort of that pushing the ceiling of, or like just constantly trying to improve myself in the sort of like coffee aspect of things. I saw as a way forward in terms of I could keep doing what I'm enjoying, but still make a living out of it per se, and just really sort of try to build onto that. And so the coffee sort of, came as not an afterthought, but it was more of just, it was my medium is to stay in this industry here. But yeah, as with everyone in coffee, as soon as you get down started in that rabbit hole, you sort of just realize it's a lot more than that. And now that's sort of equal parts, I guess.
That's true, eh? Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny what you say, how you can get into becoming a barista just through a little bit of like a potential fashion trend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you just you go to cafes, you watch the person that's working behind the machine and you think, man, that looks really cool. And like the vibe's really cool. The cafe vibe's really cool. Yeah. You're like, man, I'd love to get into that. And you don't understand all of the ins and outs of it until you get into it, and you're like, oh, there's actually so much more involved. And then there's another step on top of that of being like, if you want to go further, as you said, you can get into a rabbit hole that is never ending.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say that especially you have 100%, you're so deep in that rabbit hole that you can't even you can't even get out of it.
No, indeed.
because of the fact there's so many different things that you do. So like through knowing you over the years and your social media profiles and that, you get involved with like the leaderboard game, you get involved with all these other different other different mediums and stuff, I suppose, on social media for coffee. Like you've said, you love to kind of connect people, you love to teach people, you love to educate people about coffee. So I know that that's such a big thing for you. And then that goes back to the rabbit hole. It's just like, you know, there's you can go to work and you can work as a barista and you can do your day job, but then there's also all this other side to it that you could also do. And so, you just end up...
Yeah, I think that's what makes it so great, is that there's just so many disciplines within this one industry. Even all the other sort of like aspects aside, other than like roasting and cafe management and all that, like even within the coffee side, there's just all these different disciplines. So there's just no shortage of things you can sort of learn.
Nah, that's it. Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to take a different angle on that particular question and ask you the reason why you have stayed working as a barista for so long. Because of course, as we've said, and as you touched on, there's not much career development in terms of being a barista, and not really much else in the way of, I suppose, like, I hate to say this, right? Because I don't particularly like
elephant in the room.
True. And like, I don't particularly like to touch on the side of where people can be stuck in things, but it's just like, unfortunately, being a barista, you do get quite stuck within that job. So for you, on a personal level, how comes you have stayed being a barista for so long?
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I had to think about quite a bit about that one. I mean, not entirely sure. I suppose going back to what I was saying about how hospitality to me is sort of equal parts hospitality and coffee as well.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm a cafe manager. I've been a cafe manager for about 3 years now. So I'm actually not on the machine as much as I used to be.
Cool.
Sort of spend maybe probably like a full day there every week on the machine. So I'm not getting too jaded there, but I suppose at the same time, like, coffee for me is just one of the aspects of what I enjoy about hospitality, and so I'm not too, even though like I do get fatigued on the machine, don't get me wrong, like put me on the machine for more than a morning at a time, I'm just like, get me off this machine. But yeah, my time on the as a barista, like, I tend to have like a few things on the side as well to sort of keep me engaged in the industry. Like, probably need to sort of manage that workload a wee bit more at the moment. But I've definitely, like, the barista is like a good foundation for me. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm looking for a little bit more, I'll reach out to one of my bosses or like colleagues, do some training. There are like a few different disciplines that I can sort of like just put a hat on and do something different for a bit, and that just sort of keeps me engaged in it. And being a barista is just always been a good fallback, not fallback, but you know, it's always going to be there for me. And
amazing.
That sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
I love that because I think as well, like, I'm just going to touch on what you said there, because I think that's actually really good. And a really nice way of putting it is just like, even if you finish up working as a barista, and I was actually having what I'm going to say now is actually stemmed from a conversation I had with somebody at work the other day who told me that their son used to work as a barista. And then he went off to do something else and then he came back to it. And I was just like, that's so true. Because once you've learned those skills and once you've taught your body the muscle memory of like what the flow of like the portafilter into the grinder, tamping, blah, 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 all that good stuff is, it's kind of something that you never forget. Like, it's always going to be.
No, absolutely.
And that's why I love what you say about how no matter what happens, baristering is always a thing that you can come back to. Even if we find ourselves in the world of like a coffee shortage or something, there's going to be some form of, you can come back to work as a barista.
Absolutely.
which is super cool. And I think that's such a great part of the industry, is that once you've learned those skills, and if you're able to get involved with somebody like yourself who can teach you some incredible things, those things will always stay with you. So
absolutely.
Cool. Well, look, I wanna touch on barista championships, which I know, as I said, you know, mentioning that you're like a veteran of the industry, you're definitely not a stranger to a barista championships, and you're definitely one of the veterans of the barista championships. So yeah, how many times have you competed within the New Zealand Barista Champs?
Hold on, so I got one, I think four times. Wow. I believe four times. So this with Te Papa, so I've done one with Te Papa and then three with Mojo, and then I've done a Brewers competition as well with a roster.
Yeah. Sheesh. So you've done a lot. You've done a lot of comps.
I have. Surprised I have not worn out with
thinking yet. But yeah, exactly. Exactly. Especially because most people will get kind of worn out after one. You know, they all say, there's so much that goes into it, like so much training, so much time, and they're like, I don't think I can do that again.
The day before the competition, I'm always, this is the last time. It's the last time.
And
the day after it, I'm like, okay, see you next year.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, look, take us back to the beginning, and take us through the journey of what it is for a barista to step into like the barista championships. What goes into it? I'm going to chuck loads of questions at you, but just kind of what goes into it, what you need to do. But first of all, just tell us like why you decided to do it, and then what you put into it to make it happen.
Yeah, so it sort of stemmed from why I'm still a barista, and sort of how I've been in this industry so long. It's always been about learning for me. And you sort of get to a point, as you're talking about, like when you're a barista in a cafe, you do hit that ceiling. You do just go into a rhythm, because that is coffee. It's very rhythmic. It can get a bit tedious. And everyone sort of falls into that sort of complacency thing. And so the competitions for me are just about me sort of like pushing past that and just trying to learn more. Ultimately, it's just throwing myself in the deep end. That's how it started off. Also given to peer pressure very well. And so if someone says, do you want to do the competitions? I'll be like, yeah, sure.
That's amazing.
So a lot of it for me is just about, just giving myself an opportunity, or just like really putting myself under the torch to learn more about coffee one way or another. And then later on, the other track, it comes about building on what I've learned and like, I didn't do this right, better do this next time sort of thing. So it's a bit of there's no really escaping it, actually, now that I think about it. But that's sort of why I'm doing it, and sort of why I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Nice.
I quite enjoy the fact that it's not particularly it's a competition, but at the same time, you're not really competing against anyone else. Like behind the scenes, in the back room, it's all very like collaborative. People are tasting each other's coffees. People are sharing each other's equipment. Essentially, you're just challenging yourself every time. The score sheet's all point based, and so it doesn't matter what other people's points get if you don't get the points you need to get.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Wow. Shakers, look, see, I am now learning something because every single time the New Zealand Barista Champs was on, I was never able to go, just because I was always working. Like, it was always on a Saturday. It was always over a weekend. And so I was always working.
Yep.
I actually never got to experience what the vibe of the day was, kind of went into it. Of course, working for Flight Coffee, I heard loads of stuff about it. Louise would always be coming into the hangar. She'd always be getting us to taste stuff and hey guys, I've worked on this super random speciality beverage, milk beverage situation that's got this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
There are some fun ones.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. So like, for me, I saw that side of it, but then I never understood that behind the scenes on the day, you were able to kind of talk with one another. You know, like I thought it was proper, like, we're in a competition, like I'm going up against you, like, bah, 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 bah,
bah. No, we're not stiff enough there. It's been good. Like, everyone's really nice. And it's probably another reason I sort of keep going back is just because it's a good chance to catch up with people. Like you say, I'm a veteran, but there have also been people that are like, yeah, they're every year, and you meet new people that, like, got some good friends now from another, like, roasteries and across the country who, yeah, competed or, like, just tried to handle it or volunteered. And,
yeah,
it's just been really good to just catch up with them because,
yeah, it's so cool. Sort of
lacking in social connection these days.
Yeah, for sure. And then I suppose as well, like, you're potentially not as nervous, if this makes sense. Like, you can tell me if I'm completely wrong on this or I'm completely missing the mark, but because you potentially know either everyone or most of the people that are part of the group, part of the people that are competing, even though you're going up against them to try and beat them, at the end of the day, they're still friends and you're still within social circles and you're still going to talk to each other. So would you say that would kind of calm the nerves a little bit in terms of, like, what the day is and, like, what the day is all about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, each year, like, I've sort of sometimes got to be careful not to sort of just get carried away and relax too much before the competition. Because, it's definitely a bit more of a social thing at the moment. Just probably enjoying being in the energy.
Mm. Nah, cool. Yeah, nice. So then, what's been your favorite part of the routines that you've done? Because, of course, you've done a couple now, right? So I know in the short space of time that I've known you, I think I've seen you do two or three, I think, maybe. Maybe two. I'm just going to say two because I think I've seen you do two. So what's been your favorite part of it? Like, has it been the training, like, beforehand? Has it been the actual day? I think I know the answer to that question. has it been the training beforehand? Has it been the day? Has it been afterwards? Has it been the build up to, like, the whole day? Because, of course, and I want you to touch on this if you can, just kind of give us an insight into, like, what the build up is leading up to that. But yeah, what's been your favorite part of the whole process leading up to that day?
The whole process is probably just deep diving into coffees, to be honest. I mentioned early on, sort of the reason I did the competitions was to sort of push myself more. There gets to a point where, like, all of a sudden you are just playing to the score sheet, which is sort of what I don't want to fall into. But so the variation that I really enjoy these days is essentially just taking a coffee and then just really figuring it out, but just really exploring it a bit more and just enjoying that sort of process. You sort of, like, builds these sort of, like, sentimental connections with each coffee, and it's just been really enjoyable. Like, still distinctly remember each coffee for the competitions, and they just mean something else. So that's just part of the process that I enjoy, is just choosing a coffee and enjoying it.
Cool. Yeah, nice. And am I right in thinking that you, for every year, you've been over to visit the farm before you've gone? Like, is that a thing? Has it been every year?
No, I've been to Colombia once.
Yeah.
Back in 2019.
Cool.
And at that point, it was purely just because I wanted to enjoy it. I had no intention of competing after that, actually.
Yeah.
It was more of just an opportunistic. There was an opportunity from the team at Coffee Net to go over to Origin and spend some time on their farms.
Yeah, amazing.
And I'm like, yes, please.
yeah, totally. Pick me.
Yeah. yeah. I wish it was like that. But yeah, essentially, so that time I did end up using a we were tasting coffees every morning. I think we had about 30 coffees every morning. It was a bit, wow. Or just cupping style. So we just tasted them. We went.
I was going to say, I was like, whoa, how did you not die?
Still very, yeah. Still had a lot of coffee. But I didn't actually go over there with the intention of choosing a coffee. But it did so happen that the following year, I went back over to some of the coffees that we did taste. I'm like, actually, that one was really nice. Then why don't we use that for a competition?
Cool.
But every other year, it's just been coffees that we've had. And fortunately, we've just got some like really good connections. That means we can just properly get in touch with the farm and just get that information and get that transparency going.
It's just been
emails and
cool
phone calls and stuff like that.
Cool. So yeah, I want to touch on that point there where you said about going over to the farms, getting the story, the transparency as well around the beans, because of course that, so from what I've seen, that's obviously such a big part of, there's such a big part of like the routine, and I suppose like, no, sorry, not the routine, like a big part of like the presentation that I suppose you're bringing across, because that's the whole idea of the champs, right? Even though you've got this coffee, you've got your drinks and that sorted, you spent all that time working on them. The major part, if I'm right in saying this, the major part is the presentation. Because of course, for people that may not know that are listening to this, there's obviously somebody, yourself, is going to be standing behind the machine. You're going to be making the coffees and then you're presenting them to a panel of judges. And then essentially those judges are like your customers. And they're like, I like this one and I like this one and you're the winner. Woohoo! If it was that easy. So my question is on that is, the presentation side of it, of course, is such a big important side. So what goes into the presentation? So like the story of the coffee, the transparency, what else goes into that presentation?
The story and the transparency is always an interesting one for me. A lot of people are daunted by the competitions purely because they've been over to the farms and they've hand picked this coffee and they've processed it anyway. I definitely don't think you need to do that. You do need a like certain amount of transparency and sort of structure there. Like I said, I've only used one out of my four coffees. I've only been to the farm once, and that was last year where I placed six. A couple of years ago, my fourth place one, I hadn't been to the farm, but fortunately we were working with our importer exporter was. Fortunately, the producers were thrilled that we were using the coffee. And, like we had the communication. Like the world's a small place now, thanks to technology and social media and whatnot. And so it's so great, actually. The whole going over to the farm. I think it's good fun. But you don't need all that. And I think particularly going forward in this world where flights are. Prices are jacked up and travel's a bit more iffy. It's just really good to be able to make those connections long distance as well. It just really shortens that gap. And you can, at the end of the day, the producers, I can't speak for them, but like just the fact we're sort of making that connection and we're humbled to use that coffee, that means a lot more than getting over there. So, it's a good part of the story. And got to be careful not to go off on a tangent.
come on, bring it on, please, bring it on.
But the presentation is always a very important thing. And it comes down to the theme as well. Like all the presentations are sort of have an overall theme. A lot of it lately being obviously sustainability is coffee and is in jeopardy. And so, yeah, I think that sort of connection really does lend a huge importance to the routine because it means you're genuine. Like you look at Louise's presentation where she did work quite closely with farmers, and that the blend itself was a great way to sort of improve quality as well as affordability for farmers as well. And so it really just comes down to the theme, and sort of if you're passionate enough about it and you're genuine enough about it, then you don't need to go to the farm, but it's really good and I'd recommend it.
Totally. And then as well, it's like a very, as you've said, it's a very cool experience to go and see it. And it's definitely one of the things that I personally still would love to do. So I'm just going to keep my ears and eyes open. Hopefully one day you do a trip to a farm and I'm like, I'm coming with you. And then I'll come and see it.
I'll put you on the invite list.
Yes, please. Because I personally really want to go and see like what happens at a coffee farm, what a coffee farm looks like that isn't just on a really beautiful picture that's on Google or Instagram, because it looks amazing. But I personally want to go, and I personally want to spend a day working with the farmers, like picking the cherries from the trees, because I've heard I've heard stories of how hard it is. I've heard stories.
Pretty grueling hills, actually. Like a lot of places still using donkeys. And
And I suppose as well, for us on like a modern day mind frame, you know, we're so privileged, you know, to have machinery and to have all of that stuff, and we don't have to think about it, and our jobs are nice and easy, and we don't have to work outside in like boiling hot weather or rain, cold, snow, whatever, you know. It's just like, it's madness. So for me, on a personal level, I really want to go because I just feel it would just really open me up to just understand where the coffees come from, of course, so much more, and just have more of an appreciation of that side of it, because it's just like, like so much goes into it. And it's crazy. I'd absolutely love to go to one. So
Same. I was before I got too busy, I was looking at heading over to Colombia again, because there's quite a few programs where they where you just need to volunteer to take, and they'll put you up in a house and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like a homestay sort of thing. And cool. So that would have been cool. But
things changed. Yeah, that'd be really cool. Yeah, fingers crossed that the world starts to go back to normal, and then we can then travel and we can go and see places and hang out with coffee farmers, because I genuinely feel like through everything that I try to do, like here or the podcast, on Instagram, on my blog, conversations with people, conversations with yourself, like I try so hard to just make those stories just a little bit more known and just a little bit easier to access, easier to understand. But I know that there's only so much I can give, because there's only so much I personally know. So I'm like, if I was able to get over to like a coffee farm and able to spend some time with those people, I just, it would just open my mind up to so many different ways, avenues, ways of thinking. Yeah, it would be epic, man. I'd absolutely love to go. My next section, which I'm very excited about, and I know that you will be very excited to talk about it, is your new venture. So for the people that are listening to the podcast, you would have seen a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago now, depending on when this episode comes out, that I was lucky enough to receive some coffee from Hammerstone Coffee, which just, Logan, in my opinion, came out of nowhere. Like, what the heck?
That was
the
point.
I remember a couple of months back, we were just talking on the ground. I think we were talking about coffee, blah, 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 just about some projects. And I think I asked you the very first time when you'd be free to come on to do like an episode with me. And you said, I've got so many projects in the pipeline and that you've got something big that's coming. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, something big that's coming. I'm like, okay, well, I know that Logan does a lot of like online stuff, leaderboard game. Is he going to do like a collab with leaderboard? And then all of the Stand for Ukraine stuff came out, and then you started posting that you were doing some online courses, and I thought, oh, epic. And then you sent me a message like a month and a half ago and was like, make sure you check my Instagram because I'm changing the whole of my Instagram. And I was like, what? And then the following day, bang, Hammerstone Coffee was born. And I was like, what the heck? I was like, he kept betting. I was like, you kept that so quiet. And I was like, how did you do that?
Yeah, it sort of goes against my transparency philosophy, but
yeah, big time. But I understand it because it's a slight difference, you know, like you're bringing something, you want to make sure it's all good, it's ready to go, you've got everything that you need set up. But yeah, I've said it a couple of times, Logan is now the founder, one of the founders, the founder.
Yeah, main founder, and then my friend Taylor, cool. Yep, is one of the co-founders.
Yeah, so Logan is the founder of Hammerstone Coffee, New Zealand's latest coffee roaster, which is amazing. Bro, let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Where did it come from? Why did you start it up? What's the mind frame behind it? And how long was it in the pipeline for? Because I feel like this has been in the pipeline for quite a while.
It has been I suppose it's always been in the pipeline as well. Mm. Like going back to what I was saying about sort of making a career out of hospitality, there's only so many places you can go. And so this is sort of, yeah, my next step as I try to do something different and, look at sort of bringing it to a bit of a full-time capacity. I've been wanting to do something of my own for the longest time. Ever since I started in specialty coffee.
Yeah.
It was going to, like, initially it was looking to be like a brick and mortar sort of cafe sort of style. And
oh, amazing.
Still, like, the idea is to still go to that. Yes. But not a great time for that. So I figured this stage here is essentially me getting my feet on the ground, setting the values right, and then making sure, then just slowly building into it, like just building awareness and just trying a few things before I really double down.
Yeah. Well, bro, seriously, like I'm so excited to see what's going to happen. Like, as I've said multiple times on the posts that I currently have on my Instagram page, and it will be there still, of course. Like, yeah, I'm just so excited to see what you're going to do with it. And I genuinely feel so excited about it because it's the very first time that there's a coffee roastery that's been made that's really once again put the emphasis back on the actual coffee and the coffee farmers and the people. Because like there's a lot of coffee roasters out there, but I suppose just through not being well known, don't particularly put too much emphasis on the coffee itself and the coffee farmers and the stories. They put a lot of emphasis just on, hey, we're a coffee roastery and a brand. Drink our coffee, buy our coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm so excited about Hammerstone and like what you're personally going to bring to it, like the knowledge that you can bring, the educational side to it. And if there is a cafe that's going to come at some point down the line, I'm in.
Yeah.
If you need a barista, I'll come back and work as a barista.
You can jump on marketing as well.
Well, yeah, that too.
But yeah, it's been an exciting time. Almost a month into, well, as of recording this podcast, almost a month into it. And just really enjoying the process at the moment.
Cool.
I do a lot planned.
Which
I can elaborate on, but
Well, look, so I absolutely love the name Hammerstone Coffee. Where did that come from? Because I've been trying to figure it out. I'm like, Hammerstone Coffee. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, with you, it'd be something cool. And it's like, oh, yes, this. But no, it's nothing like an epiphany. I like spent some time like sort of brainstorming names and whatnot. But I suppose if I had an elevator pitch for it, Hammerstone was essentially a tool used way back in the Stone Age to essentially create new tools. And sort of the idea of Hammerstone is to sort of build something. still sort of figuring out, not figuring out a direction for it. I've got an idea. It's like, want to sort of build a bit, not build, but like contribute to a bit more of a resilient sort of hospitality model, both at Origin and over here. And so, yeah, Hammerstone is sort of just the idea of just sort of creating something and building into that. I also just like sort of the aesthetic sort of I quite enjoyed. It's sort of neutral. It sort of takes a back seat. It's not first and foremost a brand. I mean, it is a brand, but at the same time, I quite like the idea of just that sort of neutral style, just taking a back seat and just sort of promoting a few other things.
Amazing. That's so cool. Yeah, that's actually a really cool name. And I love the meaning behind it. Because, yeah, like I was trying to figure it out. And I was like, Hammerstone Coffee. I'm like, I know that Hammerstone, of course, has got something to do with like, yeah, you're building stuff, you're building something new. And it can be constantly kind of changing. And, you know, you're kind of going with the flow, going with the times and seeing what's happening. So I love that. And I think as well, that really kind of, I think as well, that's really going to like speak to quite a lot of people on the side of that's a way you can use to sell the brand at the same time and actually bring the brand across. Because even though, of course, it's not going to be all about the brand, but of course, you know, there has to be some aspect of that because you are building a business, right? So like, I love that because then it's such an easy thing to explain to people. And then when things do change, as you start to grow, you know, as you start to get a few more coffees in, you upgrade your roaster, you do like a, I don't know, I'm just going to put it out there. You do like a barista school or you do like a roasting school or something, you know, it's all those bits that like people would then think about the name and be like, oh yeah, I actually remember having that chat with Logan or remember having that chat with Taylor. And they said that that's what the name was all about. And so, it's so cool because it can spark so many different, like memories and conversations with people that will then just make it such a memorable brand.
I worked with it was a Thorndon based graphic designer, Grace from Little and Create, which helped with the patterns and stuff and the sort of color scheme and stuff. Cool. So yeah, it's quite thrilled with how that turned out.
Yeah, bro, it looks amazing. And I'm so stupid because I didn't bring a bag of coffee up here with me to show it off on the video. But yeah, it looks amazing. But guys, listen to the podcast. I'll link everything to Hammerstone, all of the social medias, the website, link it all down there in the description part of the podcast. And then because this will be going up on YouTube, it'll be up in the description as well. But look, you touched on it slightly, but let's open it up just a little bit more. What is the mandate of Hammerstone Coffee? So of course you want to bring as much into the forefront of Hammerstone Coffee from the farmers and the coffee, but I suppose what is the mandate for, I'm going to say it, what is the mandate for the business side of Hammerstone Coffee?
I mean, like, I'm not going to throw around the term social enterprise because it's
cool,
I haven't figured out that, but
I'm just looking
at sort of not, it's a bit more of a project. I'm just looking at sort of, I mean, COVID's obviously exposed some chinks in hospitality over here, over at Origin as well. The industry was already getting a few speed wobbles beforehand, just in terms of like mental pressure, you've worked in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's a great industry and the people are great. But I mean, as with any industry, it has its faults and there are things that can always be improved. I'm not saying I'm the messiah and I'm here to figure out what that is. But that's why it's sort of a bit more of a project in terms of just looking at different ways we can sort of do hospitality as well as just really bringing some new people, bring younger people into the fold. You mentioned training school and I'm looking at building into that as well.
I don't know what it is with me, but I've got a mind that is able to see things in the future.
you read me well. but essentially just trying to contribute. I mean, there's people doing that already, but just looking to be another person, another sort of foundation to a more resilient and more sustainable hospitality industry, both over Origin and over here. So yeah, that's first and foremost, and that's why sort of the core values being transparency and sustainability and just interpersonal relationships as well. These are all things that they just need to be there.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's so true. And I absolutely love how you said all of that, because yeah, there's so much. Look, I've said this and I've said this to so many people, but there's so many people within the hospitality industry that are so closed off. And I'm like, yeah, we are all in this together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we can all just, and this is exactly what you just said, right? But if we can all just come off of our high horse for a little while and actually work together, the change that we can bring to the coffee industry here in New Zealand and around the world, and then is huge, because we're all in it together. We all love coffee. You know, we all love what it can bring, the vibe of it, the ins and outs, the industry. So it's like, just let's all just get along and work together.
Yeah, it really impacts the younger baristas and the people coming in. Like,
exactly.
We've talked about, like, I mean, the industry's talked about staffing issues, and like, hospitality isn't seen as professional. And I get that. That's a New Zealand thing. It's an international thing to a degree. But yeah, we're sort of lacking in sort of a drive to become a bit more of a professional industry. Just in terms of just keeping people engaged, like, when they're first starting off. Like, I started off as a cafe and dishwasher. I could have very easily just disappeared from hospitality.
Yeah.
Like, I went to study for 3 years, and it just so happened that I came back into it. But yeah, just trying to, still very much figuring out. It's a project, and just looking at different ways we can build.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. And that last sentence you used there leads me perfectly onto my next question for you, which is, because of course, you know, we have all gone through COVID, we still are, you know, it's still hanging around and there's lots of challenges. You've touched on a couple of them already, but like, I suppose through creating a business within this current season that everyone is in, what are the ups and downs of that? Which is a big question, I know.
Yeah. Actually, I've got to make an announcement shortly, but obviously not when this was posted, but still can't dispatch for 7 days now.
Yeah.
So that's a down. Secretly glad to get it out of the way, the isolation period out of the way now, so that I can carry on with business as normal. But yeah, obviously things are disruptive. The ups, I suppose, I mean, the reason I've sort of started Hammerstone now is because it is an online model. It's designed for the domestic market, which I think it's obviously coming up in the world with the current climate. So, I don't want to make like broad accusations or comments, but I think the domestic market is a thing that is overlooked a bit.
Big time.
Like, there's a lot that people do differently at home, and I get that. And there's a lot of gatekeeping as well in terms of like how people make coffee at home, like on espresso, none of that. So the reality is, like, people do, and not just that, but yeah, they're just a bit more comms with the domestic market would be quite cool. And that's sort of why I've sort of decided to launch Hammerstone now, where sort of the people have more time at home,
and
they starting to care a bit more about how they make coffee. And so that's one up of it, is just that shift in focus. The cons, like I mentioned, is just disruptions, a little bit of delays and whatnot. Like, I was meant to launch with a couple of different coffees, but they're still arriving. They haven't actually landed yet. So shipping disruptions have been pretty chaotic.
Pretty hectic, eh?
Yes. Yeah. And then pricing as well. Like, I've got some, no point, like I said, transparency is my main thing, but I've got some Ethiopian coffees I'm trying to work on bringing over.
Great.
Some really phenomenally transparent ones.
Yeah. Amazing.
But that's also been just slightly pushed back because of shipping and whatnot. And so that's been a bit of a shame, but
there you go, man. COVID literally just put in disruptions to everything, even though we're years into it. You know, and it still is, and it's such a shame as well, because it's such a shame because there's so many amazing coffee countries and regions at the moment who are just not able to showcase what they were working on like a couple of years ago in the hope of 2020 to 2022, like the harvests and the crops were going to be ready, and they could harvest those and then they could sell those coffees. It's such a shame.
That's the biggest thing, which I'm, because waste is a big thing for me. I'm sort of trying to figure out different ways we can do it. But like a lot of farmers have not been able to get coffee out of the country just because of weights on containers, as well as massive delays, bad like off harvest. And it means you might have coffee that is maybe like a year and a two old still over there.
Wow.
I don't think, it's a shame. A lot of the industry does seem to overlook that as well. It's sort of, and then it's sort of just left to the producers to figure out what to do with it, which is not ideal. Ultimately just sort of ends to get spoiled into like commercial crops. But definitely a lot of impacts happening over there, where it's just a lot harder to get coffee out. And that's not even factoring in climate change and all that jazz.
Oh, shakers, yeah. Let's not get started on climate change.
Yes, yeah, no.
Because we'll be here for hours.
Conversations.
We'll be here for hours if we started on climate change. Well, Indeed. Look, honestly, I've had so much fun listening to all of the stories you've told us. You know, just so much fun just getting to know you more, like hearing the ins and outs of like what makes Logan, like what Logan started to do in terms of the coffee industry and the coffee journey that you're on and you're still on, and Hammerstone and that coming to life. And just like, I'm genuinely so excited for you on a personal level for like what is next for you, and then what's next for Hammerstone, what's next for you being a barista, and like what's coming up in the pipeline and stuff. But look, before we go, give us some words of wisdom on the spot. Give us some words of wisdom around being a barista, coffee roasting. What is Logan's words of wisdom to anybody that was like, teach me, Logan, teach me.
Oh gosh, words of wisdom. Ah, geez.
Please.
I think particularly at the moment, there's just a lot of burnout in the industry. A lot of like seasoned professionals leaving the industry. I mean, like yourself, but then also a lot of friends and colleagues leave the industry. Try not to take it all on. Like I think a lot of people, like, because hospitality is such a passionate industry. Like the reason we're doing it is because we're passionate. And so people can really just take a lot of small things on board, and that does wear them down. So I think some people just need to sort of realize we're just trying to make people's days, get through that. But yeah, definitely looking after number ones, particularly at the important at the moment. Otherwise, it'll come back to bite you very quickly.
Yeah, it really
It's something I'm sort of just figuring out now. But yeah, definitely mental health is pretty important.
100%.
I mean, it always has been, but
has been.
No more than now.
Alrighty, bro. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. Honestly, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you talking, being open, being real with us. Also appreciate it for those that missed it at the beginning, that 5 minutes before we started this podcast, Logan got a text to say that he tested positive for COVID. So he's been sitting through this podcast with that in the back of his mind. So honestly, bro, I just appreciate you so much. I genuinely love talking to you, genuinely love seeing your experiences and learning from you, hearing from you, and just seeing what you're up to, because you've got so much going on in a good way, of course.
Thank you.
But yeah, just bro, thank you so much for your time, honestly.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much for organizing all these, and looking forward to checking out more future podcasts.
Yeah. And there's a lot coming, trust me, there's some good ones coming up too.
I saw that notebook.
Yeah.